It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And you know what? We're going to tee up Valentine's today. We're going to give you a week to prep your special meal for mama. Or the love of your life. If we got some lady listeners out there, she could probably do a little Valentine's meal for the old man too. But I think it's this is a good show. I always enjoy this one. And I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, babe?
Hey, thanks, Jop, and thanks, Conrad, for taking good care of us. We do have a warm place in our hearts for our Valentine's. I don't care if you're the husband or the wife. It's that day that's not necessarily just a Hallmark holiday.
Right.
I think they came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's a good chance to maybe... Last week we talked about the tenderloin, the filet mignon.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good time to practice that one. So,
right.
So keep your eye out for some beef tenderloin.
Right.
You don't have to buy a whole strip. But if you bought a couple of nice 2-inch chunks of it, you might have a good... Valentine's
exactly.
Day yourself.
You certainly would. You certainly would.
It's not torture.
Nope, it's not.
But listen, we are also carried to you on the Michigan Talk Network, and of course all the Jethro FM stations, and we're just happy to be here. We're happy you took time to listen to us.
Right. So that filet, Bob, that is wrapped in the pastry, is that called a London broil? Is that, if I got that right, or there's, I don't think that is. I think there's another name for
that's
that.
No, I think that one's a flank, or no, that one's a...
But it's not London broil. What is the name? When you wrap a piece of...
It's like Welsh or something like that.
Beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, I was drawing a blank there for a minute. So I had a buddy that tried that about 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
And when it was done, he called me and asked me what he did wrong. And this is a very, very elegant...
Have you ever made it before?
Yeah, and that's why I was going to cover it.
I just wondered if you hadn't.
No.
Why he called.
Right. Yeah. And and I'll tell you why he called in a minute. But it's a very elegant dish, and it's very special, and it's something that a Valentine would really like. So I just wanted to cover it for a second. So you've got a piece of beef tenderloin, not beef loin, but beef tenderloin, which is about the size of a tennis ball.
Yep.
Right. And you're going to take a piece of that, whatever you want. And traditionally, what it is it's wrapped in a pastry, and then it's cooked off, and it's got maybe some mushroom and a little bit of gravy on the inside when you wrap the pastry around it, so there's a little bit of moisture in there, and then there's more of it drizzled on top. I'm really bastardizing the whole thing. I get it. But my point was this, is that I think he pulled off the pastry just right. He showed me pictures of it, but when he cut into it, the beef wasn't cooked. I mean, it was on the outside about the first quarter inch was just like he liked it, and by the time he got to the center, it was cold red. And but the pastry, he was worried about the pastry burning, right? So my recommendation to him was you needed to cook that thing to about medium rare before you wrapped it in pastry. It brought me to the sous vide as well, and I'll talk about both those techniques. But the first one is if you just grilled this thing, rolled it on the grill, put a thermometer in it, you got it to about 110 in the center, then and let it cool, though. I would let it cool and then wrap it because the pastry is going to take a half hour to cook, and you don't want the beef to get too done on the inside. The other way to do that is the sous vide. Is that the sous vide translates to cooking in a bag underwater, right? So you bring that filet to 110 in that, and then wrap it, and I think that it would turn out a lot better. Now there's chefs out there.
So French for bag is sous.
Right? Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Boy name. Yeah. But anyway, so my point was is that he struggled with it. He was very disappointed when he cut into it, and the center of it was very cold. But
so he threw it on some cast iron?
Yeah, he did, and he cooked it like a steak is what he ended up doing. He didn't lose it by any means, but you lose the presentation because if you slice down through it. Right, yeah. Well, that and if you slice down through it and that pastry's all done on the outside and you're medium rare on the inside, I mean, it's just beautiful.
What temp did he go at?
He told me he baked it at 350, But the whole issue was is he put a raw piece of meat inside the pastry, and it just wasn't done when the pastry got done. So
well, I think also it's got to be at room temperature when you wrap it.
Yep. That'd be another great great piece of advice because—
We did it once. Maureen did it. And it looked beautiful.
Do you always talk with your mouth full?
Uh-huh. I'm trying this Fry Daddy's mix. We're going to promote it here.
Right.
It looked beautiful. I would never do it again.
No?
No. If I'm going to cook a steak, I just want the steak. I don't need to wrap it up. Unless it's in bacon.
Right. Yeah, right. Well, there's that. Yeah.
But the crust was beautiful. Now the other one that you mentioned before that.
Not the Beef Wellington, but the... God, man, I'm drawing a blank today.
Is that like a baked Alaska?
No, that's got seafood on top.
Yeah, but anyway,
London broil.
The London broil, I think, is like a flank steak.
Right.
That would be worthwhile, but I would never again mess with a piece of tenderloin like that.
Yep.
We had friends that did it every year, and they go, oh, you got to do it. And it was during the COVID lockdown, and we go, okay. So we did a Zoom meeting, and we showed each other our final products. And I was just like, this was much ado about nothing.
Yeah. Well, here's the good news,
I'm not English, so maybe I don't get it.
Right. But then you could always pull out a Meritage from Fenn Valley, pour a big glass of that red wine, and that would go really well with that piece of steak.
Yeah. I wish I could.
Yeah, I know. Here you are. You're complaining again, whining. This will be the whining part of the show.
I don't have any.
Right. Well, we got to go get some. We know where to get it.
We do.
We know exactly where to get it. Our friends at Fenn Valley.
I went to Flat River Spirit. What's it called? Showboat Spirits.
Okay.
In Lowell. It used to be the beer store.
Right.
As Joel has been on the show. He might be on the show again next week, but... they got a beautiful wine selection. I picked up a beautiful Pinot Noir for like $13
right
the other night, and yep. The wife and I had a wonderful night. We went to the Flat River Grill because Wednesdays are wine down Wednesdays.
Sure, yep.
And it's all the wine's half off.
Right. And so you drink twice as much, and you're even.
No, I was driving, but I wanted some more when I went home, and I knew I didn't have any reds that were worth a darn.
Right.
So I went down and saw Joel. He wasn't there, but he's going to be on the show, I think, next week. So I'm waiting for a confirmation. But that store has the ceilings are like 20 feet tall. He's got stuff stacked right there.
Is this the one that has a piano in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anybody still playing that piano?
Uh-huh. His wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's, I think, like a concert pianist.
Oh, really?
It's so cool.
At least for Lowell.
Well,
she is.
You know what?
Right.
It's so cool to have those high ceilings and all those bottles and to have that piano music bouncing around the brick and bottles. It's it's something else. You feel like you're in a wine store with a piano.
Right. Well, you kind of are, right? Yeah. In Lowell, Michigan, of all places.
Hey, the next place to be, buddy.
Right. Yeah, for wine. It sounds like it. Yeah, if you can't get down to Fenn Valley in Fennville. Speaking of which, I got down there last weekend and caught some bluegills in a little lake just north of Fennville. I hopped in with a couple buddies, didn't know where we were going, but man, we got on the fish, so I got to do a fish fry. That's something else you could do for mama if you got some fresh bluegills. Is this time of year, you know, our boyfriend Chaz, who's on the national fishing team, is
you made that weird.
Yeah, is catching lots of them right now. I talked to him earlier this week, and you guys have heard Chaz, the Baritone of Beer, on the show before, so. But he's really into ice fishing. So
Groundhog Day never meant so much as it did this year.
Right.
Because this whole stupid COVID thing and all the, I mean, Anthony Fauci and going back and forth and, oh, we're going to lock down again. Oh, you might have to do. It's just like it's 2 years. It was supposed to be 2 weeks.
Right.
It's 2 years. But here's what I want to say. God bless those Canadian truckers.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you. Those guys are sick of it. We're all sick of it. They're actually doing something.
Right.
Now there's truckers all around the world starting the same thing. We got a huge team leaving out of California. And these governments got to start listening.
And the thing I don't understand about that is from a trucker standpoint, most of them, not all, but most of them ride alone all day, every day. Who are they protecting themselves from? Right? I mean, at the fuel stop or whatever. I mean, this is controversial.
I think they're doing it for everybody.
At the end of the day.
Why should it be?
Can't I just be an adult and be responsible for my own? If I want to wear one, I don't condemn anybody for wearing
that. You said it's controversial? Why should it be?
Right. All right. Enough of that. Coming up next, we're going to get right back into the Valentine's love. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We're giving you a Valentine's treat about a week early so you can plan your wonderful deal for your honey
and pull it together.
Right.
Come on. Bob's
was chewing too much?
Chex Mix. It's actually fired up. It's Fry Daddy's.
Right.
Very good.
Yeah, but, and we'll get into that in a minute. But, Bob, I think I saw on Facebook that you cooked some dinosaur ribs. What are those?
Oh, Tim hooked me up with some giant beef ribs, and I cut them into singles, and they were phenomenal. Yeah, they're on the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I took the leftovers. There weren't many because Jordan came over, and he eats like a Great Dane. But I took the one extra, and I cut all the meat off the bone, and I trimmed all the fat off it, and I diced it up into small pieces. And I threw it into a marinara I was making. Oh, my gosh, was it good. I always just use Italian sausage or ground beef.
Right.
But I thought, why does the beef have to be ground? I'll grind it.
Right. Yep. So these were just the whole rib off the cow?
Yeah.
Okay. So they
were huge.
Yeah, something he just did as a novelty, right? Probably doesn't carry it in a store every day.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I just told him I wanted some dinosaur ribs.
And that's what he came up with,
yep.
Huh? How much meat was on them? I mean,
a lot.
How far down did they go?
He left a lot, like the ones we did out in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
He left a lot on there, so they bunched up real nice and
good.
Oh yeah, they were so good.
So let's talk about that. How long do you cook something like that? Guys, a beef rib's about the size of your forearm, right? Lengthwise, what you're talking about, and diameter.
I put it on my Cajun and I smoked it for probably 4 hours. It was a really cold day, and I had my temperature. Oh, I don't know, 270. And okay,
but that's a metal smoker, and it's going to be zapped from heat.
Well, I kept the charcoal low, too. I didn't want it to be hot.
Right.
I wanted it to go low and slow. And then I took them off. I put them in a giant cookie sheet. I put a little beef broth on it and a few other treats. Put some foil over top and put it in the oven for too long. I left them in too long.
So you smoked it for 4 hours and then finished it in the oven?
For maybe an hour and a half. I only needed a half hour, 350.
Okay.
I only needed a half hour.
How did you know they were overdone? What was wrong?
They shrunk way up and started falling off the bone.
Okay. You like a little tug to get them off the bone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were nice and tender, but kind of overdid it.
Yeah.
And the thing about that kind of a meat, when you do overdo it, it might have been tender, and then it starts tightening up again. So you lost your tenderness.
Yeah. Because it shrinks too far?
I don't know. It just, you deplete too many of the fats and it tightens up. It's not as tender as the perfect timing. That's why it's the perfect timing.
Right. So, so how many people did that feed?
Well, there were only four of us and there was a whole rib left over.
Yeah. So one rib, one of those will feed a couple people.
Yep.
Then, yeah, that's cool.
Yep. Yeah. So now, last week we had Chef Andy Schultz on from Four Chefs.
Right.
And that chili he made was fantastic.
Yep.
And
but he made a lot of it.
Conrad and I each took a little bowl home, and I had that bowl, and I had to go to a men's night at church, my group, and I realized that it was the night we were all bringing food in, and I only had like an hour and a half by the time I got home. So I thought, well, I got this chili, and I texted one of the guys and said, hey, you know, what don't people bring?
Right. Well, and if you'd go to the group once in a while, you'd know.
Oh, I do. I go every week. But I noticed that there's a lot of food that people don't eat, you know, because a lot of people just bring a pizza. Well, come on.
Yeah.
You can do more than $5. Right. They bring the cheap ones, too.
Right, yeah.
So...
What's the matter? You don't like pepperoni?
So
and pepperoni?
Yeah.
And more pepperoni?
There's only three on there.
Right, yeah.
But so he goes, how about like something in a pan with like some potatoes and some barbecue and some... I said, okay, I got it. Yep. You want a casserole? He goes, that's it, a casserole. I said, okay. So I hung up and I see this chili. And then I thought, how about some Southern Mac with a layer of chili on top?
Okay.
So I made up a beautiful Southern mac. And here's the key to doing any kind of mac and cheese if you're going to have to throw it in the oven. You just want to partially cook those noodles, and you want your cheese sauce to be very watery. But now, if I have these noodles and this watery sauce, it's going to be tough to just pour chili on top of it because it's going to sink to the bottom or something.
Right.
So I took some corn tortilla shells, and I made pods. And then I cut up some smaller ones to fill in the blanks, but I scooped that chili out on these pods and then kind of spread it around gently so it didn't disrupt it. And it was kind of cool. I took pictures. You can see it on our Facebook page maybe. But then I took a blend of cheeses and I buried it again in cheeses. And I'll tell you what, they were licking the pan. There were still three other pans full of other people's stuff. They were licking the pan. I didn't have to throw anything away.
Yeah.
It was that
so
good.
So how'd you get it out of there? Were those...
Spatula.
Did those tortillas cut all right? Or?
Well, the tortillas were in between the mac and cheese and the chili.
Right.
So I just... Yeah, because I baked it for, I don't know, 20 minutes and threw it in a cooler and took it down to the church. And I took my big spatula that...
it's got a sharp edge on it. Yeah.
R&J Best Choice Markets gave me that when we did that event right there. So it's that big one with a bottle opener, and I just hit it down. And the spatula itself was the perfect measuring device. Gave me three rows lengthways, three rows... You know, it was just perfect.
Yeah.
You can see a really terrible video. I was paying more attention to trying to lift it up than where my phone was pointed when I videoed it. But
we'll stick to your day job.
That mac and cheese was beautiful, and it's the simplest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, I
boiled. But the key was to not cook it all the way and do a little bit watery sauce because the moisture will be absorbed by the mac and cheese.
So I dumped out most of the water in the mac and cheese pan, and I diced up about 4 inches of Velveeta.
Is that real cheese?
Yeah, it is. It's American cheese.
I don't know.
American.
Anything that'd be on the store shelf with no refrigeration doesn't generally seem to be cheese.
Okay.
It's pretty expensive stuff.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
No waste other than the aluminum foil
that comes in. You can knock it. But
you know where that came from, right?
Where's that?
Well, these cheesemakers would have these little knobs left, these little pieces of cheese, and what they did is they softened it up and then formed it together to make money, and that's how originally back in the 30s or whatever they created Velveeta.
Really? No kidding.
Yeah.
Because it's Velveeta smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Didn't know that. Well, some things never change in time, and I bet that's one of them.
And
I
now back to the show.
Anyway, so I chunked it up into like inch and a half squares. I dumped most of the water out of the noodles, but I left enough in there so that the cheese could melt and have some hydration. And then I threw in a little powdered mustard a little Parmesan.
Mm-hmm.
And, God, it was good. 20 minutes in the oven. I had just enough time to get down to the church by 6 o'clock. It looked gorgeous. I pulled it out, and everybody's like, what is that? It's like, I don't know. It's just some Frankenstein thing.
Yeah. Another. It came with a recipe, but Bob never follows those. So, you know, I get it. I get how that works.
Well, anyway. I think people do chili mac and cheese things. I don't know if they're burgers or fries. I think they put them on fries.
Yeah.
Chili and then mac, cheese,
whatever.
I don't know.
You can't hardly go wrong with mac and cheese.
No.
But anyway.
I heard of people putting them on sliders.
Right.
With a little pickle.
Works out, man. I'm just telling you.
My redneck turned up.
Right. All right. Coming up next, we're going to continue this Valentine's train. I don't know if you're on it or not, but if you're not, we'll go right on by. So you listen to the Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're spending a little time covering some Valentine recipes, and then Bob sojourned to church with a pan of mac and cheese.
I'm still chomping on party mix from Fry Daddy's.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. I got a buddy that I work with that is an investor in this company, and they're out of Spring Lake, and it's a Fry Daddy's party mix is what it is. And if you remember Chex Mix, this is Chex Mix on steroids, is what this is.
Yeah, it's much more quality.
Right. I see pecans, I see almonds, I see peanuts, I see these little rye toast things, obviously pretzels, but this is a really, really good kind of snack mix. And he's got it in an original flavor, which is probably got a little bit of garlic on it, I'd say, a profile. And, excuse me, and then they got a ranch profile. And I kind of am fancying this ranch, man. It's really, really good. But if you've been listening during the whole show, you've been hearing Bob Crunch on the I think he missed breakfast this morning when he came in. So we're having Fry Daddy mix. But as I understand it, they're just getting off the ground. They've been doing this for 6-8 months, and they've got a they're over in. The Lake Shore is where they are, Spring Lake, Grand Haven, Muskegon area. You're going to find that in a lot of different party stores over there. They just came into Grand Rapids, and they're testing this at the Meyer Market on Bridge Street downtown. So
cool.
Check it out. Really good stuff.
It is.
And they're not a paid sponsor.
And I'm done eating. Yeah. So listen, here's a Valentine special for you. Thursday, February 10th, the ultimate winemaker's dinner. It is about $100 a seat, but if you've never been to Fen Valley, this might be the perfect time to go because you'd really be showing off your girl. You know, she might really like that. It's a beautiful menu. It's, I wish I was available that night. I cannot, but it's, go to fenvalley.com, fenvalleywines.com. Look at our website, click on the link, go to the Grilling Guys, go to the right side, click on the Fen Valley link. It'll take you right to the page and look for the winemaker's Valentine dinner. It's going to be something. And they'll sell out. They're having two of them. There's two different dates. The one's already sold out. I think the 11th is sold out, and the 10th still has openings.
Right.
They sell out of everything all the time.
Yeah, and I've been to these before, not this particular Valentine ones, but his wine dinners down there. And this is a special thing, guys, because it's an easy little trip. You take 196 south and west of Grand Rapids until you hit the Fenville exit, which is just past the Douglas exit, the Saugatuck Douglas exit. So it's not a big ride.
Just put it in your phone.
Right. And you get over to the winery, and I don't know, I'm not exaggerating, but 30 varietals of wine he'll have. And he pairs, not all of them, but he'll take a great cross-section of them and pair them with all the food. And the beautiful part about this is if you're even remotely interested in wine, they teach you about all these wines while you're there. So, and he's not going to dominate your night. You're going to still have some wonderful time alone or with the people that you're with. But it's just cool. It's
and
really
if you
cool
want,
thing.
The little town of Fenville has a bunch of bed and breakfasts. You could even get a bed and breakfast for the night and make it a really good Valentine.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah, so if you had maybe one or two extra wines, you're not driving all the way back to Grand Rapids. What a cool little getaway. But, I mean, it's 45 minutes from Grand Rapids, and you'd be there. And it seemed like you're in wine country. I mean,
and you never know
there.
What to get mama for Valentine's Day.
Right.
So you're going to spend $100 a person. So what? You don't have to buy a gift if you do that.
Right.
Because most of the stuff I get my wife at that time is like, I already have one or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to hit the mark.
Right. Well, it is. And especially as long as you've been married, you've tested that mark many times.
Yeah. She's got right. almost everything she could want other than a new husband.
Well, yeah. Maybe that guy's getting her something better. Who knows?
Yeah. Don't forget to check out thegrillingguys.com. Go to the right side, sponsor side, and look for that big banner that says My Pillow. Because they've got some cool stuff half off right now. I'm going to get a pair of those moccasins. I love their slippers. I mean, I need new slippers badly. Maureen, if you're listening, Valentine, get it? Wink, wink. And they've got, the Giza sheets are like starting at $39.
Dude, we got them. They're in. And you know what? These guys do sponsor our show. But, you know, I got the deal you get. On sheets. I didn't right. get them free.
Right.
Nobody's paying me to say this, but they are the most comfortable sheets we've ever had on the bed. And I don't even really know how to describe it other than they're just super soft.
Here's how you describe it.
What's that?
Merca.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, he gets from the Giza region over there in you know, Europe or someplace.
Egypt,
yeah. But anyway, they're made in America, and that's the cool part. And but they're super comfortable. We have a king size bed, and it was, I think, $59.99, and it came with two of the big pillowcases and, you know, the two sheets. So
they were only $59.99?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding.
No, they're great, man.
Wow.
They're great. So we're up for another pair because
you get some of those for deer camp.
Right. You might. Yeah, you might. but anyway, no, good stuff. Really good stuff. So what other kind of things you want to cook for your sweetie? You know, you're not a big fan of salmon. I think that it's when everybody's watching their weight and trying to, you know.
Did you look at the next segment?
Yeah, we're in it, dude. We're in the next segment. This is segment three.
Okay.
All right.
That's what we're doing.
Right.
Plank salmon.
I understand. So take it away, Bob.
You know what? This is the only time I do like salmon is if you plank it.
Yep.
And, you know, the first time I had it was at the Flat River Grill.
Yep.
And Greg Gilmore was there. It was their grand opening. We bought seats for the first couple nights. They did this cool thing, wine nights or whatever. And I ordered the plank salmon. And I'm normally just okay. I like fresh salmon. I like Michigan if I cube it up and deep fry it. But I'm not like your, you know, bake a piece of salmon and chip it and put it on a bagel for breakfast kind of thing. That's not how I roll.
Well, that's smoked, yeah. But, no, I love grilled salmon. And we've done it a lot of different ways, from everything at a tip uptown to fancy dinners and everything in between. And it's something that I really enjoy. It's actually now, it's a lot less expensive than other kinds of proteins that you might put on a plate. You can still get it for $8.99 a pound or $9.99 a pound, and you get a good piece of Atlantic salmon. And
but you might have
good.
Some in the freezer from last summer.
Right. Yeah. Get it out of there because this summer's coming up.
Yeah.
Right? Punxsutawney Phil saw six more weeks, but we'll be out of that.
You know what, though?
No,
I don't believe that little gopher because I got birds singing outside my office.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you.
That's weird.
Yeah, and you got a foot of snow this week, so
yeah,
who knows?
Weather warfare.
Right, right. But anyway, so I like salmon. Salmon's good. A lot of simple recipes for it.
Yeah, and a real simple way is to just buy those planks like we did from Home Depot, the little cedar shake roof. Shakes.
You can get them at grocery stores too. Yep.
I mean, the cheap way out
right.
is just a cedar shake.
Yep.
Because you can throw it right on your grill, and like we experienced, if you have an open flame, the outside edges where the fish is not will catch on fire.
Right.
And that makes for a very cool presentation.
Yeah.
But put some lemons on top, or some thyme, or some sort of herbs, and make sure you brine that thing. Put a little salt and sugar and white wine and water, and just brine it for a few hours.
Yep, and that'll keep that moisture in there when you're cooking it.
And if it's a funky salmon that's a little pungent, that white wine will tame it down a little bit.
Yep,
buttermilk will too.
Yeah, if you buy good salmon, you might not need to brine it. And I use that. Half maple syrup, half Dijon mustard, a little right. rosemary, and some lemon, and mix that up and just squirt it on there, and it makes a nice glaze as it smokes.
But even when you buy good salmon, don't you feel like every now and then you just get a piece that's like, ooh, man.
Well, it's usually old. I mean,
I know.
The thing. It's set around too long,
right.
And then in fact, you know when you open it up. If it smells fishy, not the one
you want to
eat.
Cat. Yeah.
Yeah, let the cat have that one and go get a fresh one.
Take it back to the store.
Because it shouldn't smell fishy.
No.
Fresh salmon doesn't. Nor does fresh bluegill or fresh perch like I got last weekend. I froze that away because I brought home 40 fish. There were three of us fishing, and I drew the short straw, and they gave all the fish to me. So I came home, and it took me an hour and a half to clean 40 fish because I fillet them, and then I skin them. And so it's a double duty every time I do it. But I've got skinless, boneless fillets of perch and bluegill. So
how big were the perch?
You know what? We only got three, but they were all over 10 inches. They were monsters, full of eggs, ready to spawn, but it was cool. But I wish I'd have caught a bucket of those, man. Ooh, that's good. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about maybe some potatoes au gratin. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. Hey, we're doing a little precursor for Valentine's Day. We know it's a week away, but it's going to give you time to put your ideas together, get your ingredients, zip over to Sobey Meats, and get your stuff right near the end of the weekend so that it's fresh. And, you know, whether you're cooking on Monday night or you're going to celebrate it a week from today, hit Sobeys and get some good stuff.
So you went down that bunny trail of the wrapping your filet in whatever, pastry.
Yeah. Filo.
Yeah. I feel low now. Yeah. But if you just want to make a beautiful filet mignon, just have them cut them like an inch and a half thick, a couple of them. And make sure you get at least choice, or if you can afford prime, get prime, but at least get choice. Do not buy a select tenderloin, okay?
Right.
That's going to be the cheap stuff.
Right.
And then get some nice wide, I would tell you to get some homemade bacon or something like a homemade slab bacon. And get a nice thick slice of bacon, wrap it around the outside of it, and put a toothpick in it.
Yep, so it stays on.
Yep, and then a little bit of EVO on top and bottom, and just a little salt and pepper top and bottom. Put that baby on the grill. Yes, get out and get the grill open.
Right. That sounds good.
But
cook it to about 115, 120 degrees internal temperature.
Whatever your wife wants.
Right. Yeah, she likes it a little more done, maybe. Now, I only have one tip for that, is that if I was doing that, I would about cook the bacon about half. I would get it hot and rendered off a little bit, but you still want to be able to wrap it around. You don't want it crispy, but like half done. Because my challenge is that in order to get that bacon done and edible, I either got to roll that steak on its side to get the bacon directly to the heat, or the filet itself usually gets overdone for my liking by the time the bacon's done.
Well, I'm not worried about eating the bacon. If you have a dog, the dog will love you too.
Well, I understand. You're making for the whole bunch of family.
I'm trying to make the steak taste better with that bacon fat.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't want to render too much off it.
Because the filet is lean.
Yep.
Right? But I've never put a piece of bacon on my plate that I want to give to the dog. You know what I mean?
You're pretty selfish.
I love my... Well, not that she doesn't get some. But I didn't say. I just don't want to give it to her because I I prefer to eat the bacon myself.
How about potatoes au gratin? You ever make those?
You know, honestly, a couple times, but as crazy as this might sound, I'm not a big potato guy.
You know what? Women love potatoes au gratin.
Sure.
If you take your girl to, what's the place in Marshall? Winschuler's.
Okay. Well, that comes in a little crock.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've had those.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, you used to live by there.
Right, yeah.
They're gorgeous. I went to
high school prom there, man.
Yeah.
I'm sure I brought a tater-fed girl with me.
That's right. But it's a great presentation. So you got a filet mignon. You've got your little crock. You always have a crock.
Right.
And then I'm going to say I'm going to sear some Brussels sprouts in a pan with some butter EVO. And then I'm going to drizzle a little 18-year balsamic from Old World Olive Company. And I'm going to probably put some slivered almonds on top.
Yep. Right when they're done. Just
right
about when they're
right
done.
Right before they're done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it's going to make – or some bacon bits. You know, you don't want to reuse your bacon.
Right.
Do the Brussels sprouts as soon as your tenderloins are done. Chop up those two undercut pieces of bacon.
Yeah, right.
Chop them up and fry them up with those Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. And when he says fry them up, I would use a cast iron pan and get it pretty hot.
Yep.
And because you want these things to get that little char. You don't want them burned, so you got to move them around a little bit.
Right.
But you want them to get charred, and those outside leaves on those Brussels sprouts kind of get crispy. Oh, man, it's just great texture.
Have you ever had a deep-fried Brussels sprout?
Yeah,
I
have.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of restaurants do that.
Yeah.
I think they...
It opens up like a flower.
Right, yep.
They're hard to stop eating.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
Kind of like this party mix from Fry
yeah.
Daddy.
Yeah, exactly. It's good.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the other thing is asparagus. It's a little pricey this time of year. It's starting to come in from southern states right now because that's a spring vegetable pretty well around
like
the country.
Florida thing or California.
Yeah, someplace. But asparagus is good with a piece of beef. And, you know, there's lots of fancy ways you can do that. Pardon me. But my favorite is just some cheap, zesty Italian dressing. And not a bunch of it, but just roll it in that so you got a little bit of of oil from that dressing on there. And, ooh,
you
God,
know what I've
good.
Found is that whatever dressing is in the fridge that nobody's using – that's the one.
Yeah, right.
Because they all work.
Yeah.
They all have oil. They all have vinegar, some kind of seasoning profile.
Right.
And you just want something to stick to that asparagus.
Right. Yep. Give it a little bit of flavor.
Just love it a little bit.
Yeah. So I've never found a dressing that doesn't make your pea stink, though, man. I don't know.
And you can also do wild rice.
Ooh.
And that's really nice.
Can you find
really
that?
Good. Oh, yeah. You go out and pick it in the parking lot.
Right. Yeah.
But here's what I did the other night. And. My wife and I are dieting like mad. She's doing better than I am.
Really, but, really Chex Mix?
I know. That's why I'm starving on it. I've been starving myself. But she's really good until I come along and make something like bread pudding.
Yeah.
And I did it the other night. I had these breadcrumbs in the freezer because I knew I wanted to do it on the show for Valentine's. I thought, well, I better practice it. I haven't made it in years. My mother used to make it. So I got all the stuff out. And I baked it, and the house smelled like heaven. She came out of her office because she works from home, and she's like, "What are you making?" I said, "Bread pudding." She said, "I told you I don't want any." I said, "No, it's for me."
Yeah.
I came back. I had a big, beautiful plate of it. There's like this much in the pan now.
Right, yeah.
She's eating almost all of it. So, yes, women love bread pudding.
Yeah, so it's made with like cinnamon
and
raisins.
It's just like
and
4 eggs, two cups of milk, or I did a cup of milk and a cup of heavy cream.
Yep.
More fat. And then it's got cinnamon, vanilla, and a little touch of salt, and make sure you only do 3 cups of breadcrumbs. I think I had 4 because, like, my top of it didn't really get enough of that custard in it because it's really custard is what it is.
Right, yeah.
And, oh, God, it was so good. So if you do screw it up like I did and have it a little dry on top, there's a recipe in your Better Homes and Gardens cookbook if you still have one. Everybody has
online,
one.
Online, yeah.
Everybody has one from Mom. But there's a recipe for a whiskey sauce you can put on top.
Yeah.
There's several different little glazes. Get some of that.
Yeah, okay. Get some.
Yeah.
Get some of that, he said.
Because I got a piece that big left at home.
Right,
you want it.
Right. Ooh, that sounds good. That
but
sounds
that's
really
a,
good.
That's just a cool touch because, again, you're trying to do something special for your the one you love and just
yeah.
Treat her, right?
Lisa makes apple bread, which is like apple pie. Oh, yeah. It's kind of like banana bread with no bananas. This has got apples in it, but she uses fresh apples and cuts them up, and it's in this little breakfast loaf thing.
Yes.
And oh man, it's no good for me, but it's so good for me at the same time. God, I love that.
So you can make French
stuff.
Toast out of that too.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a little
it's
heavy.
So juicy.
Yeah, this is a little moist.
Well, you
got to
fry it with some bacon or something.
Right, yeah, right. Crisp it up a little bit. Then you can give it all the dog. Oh man, we just went the wrong direction with all of that. But anyway, cobbler. One last thing. I'll cover that.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, cobbler's super easy. Flour, butter. Put the butter in the bottom of the pan. Little flour, milk. Make a batter. And then you're going to pour your fruit topping. And you can make them with peaches. You can make them with blueberries. You can make them with strawberries, anything you want. But it's simple little, almost four ingredient: flour, milk, butter, and your topping. And you put it in there, and it looks – and you put the butter down first. And I'm in a cast iron skillet now. And you can do this on the grill, or you can do it in a smoker, or you can do it in your oven. Doesn't matter. But you want it about 350. The skillet's got a layer of butter in there. You put that batter in there so it doesn't stick, and then you pour your topping right in on top, throw it in, and what happens is that batter swallows up all that fruit topping, but it's in there. And oh, in simple way, because if you're...
What, like, are you using, a yellow cake mix?
What? No, I'm just using regular flour and milk and a little bit of sugar.
Okay, here was Rob Russell's way when we were on the road teaching,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't care for this. It was too much sugar. He would take a yellow cake mix, and he would pour a can of Sprite in it.
Oh, really?
And he swear by it. You know, I don't know what it is, but that's Sprite.
Yeah.
God bless Rob.
Yeah, right.
Rest in peace.
Yep, rest in peace, brother.
Boy, this show wouldn't be what it is.
Yeah, so next week, Barbecue Bob is going to have a guest host, because the real Valentine's gift that I'm doing is my wife and I are headed to Mexico. And for the honeymoon we never had, we got married in Bob's backyard in 2020. And
I gave him the COVID.
Right, yeah. And we've had this honeymoon canceled twice, but damn it, we're going. So we're going to Riviera Maya, just south of Cancun. Got a charter out of Lansing direct to Cancun. Only takes about 3 hours and 40 minutes to get there. And by the time you hear this show next week, I'll have my toes in the sand and a beer in my hand. So I just wanted to say a really happy Valentine's to everybody out there. And Barbecue Bob, I'm sure you got somebody lined up for next week.
I do. Tune in next week, because it's the food truck show. We're bringing in food trucks.
All right. Well, hey, have a great Valentine's, and I'll talk to you when I get back.
See you.